$1 million in stakes and we're ready to go.
Pride of Jenny, though, will make it a totally different pain barrier for us. So what are you expecting from Pride of Jenny early and what are you expecting overall from Pride of Jenny?
Well, this horse is becoming the new star, isn't it?
In a long slipstream of Pride of Jenny, she's already off and gone at the 1,400 metres.
Pretty quickly, in my view, the rider was on the wall last campaign and has continued to do that. If the horse runs one or two or three lengths slower through the first section, it just wins that race.
Pride of Jenny, we expected her to lead by a long way, but seriously, 30 lengths? This is unbelievable. Pride of Jenny with sustained speed going to the 800 metres.
As in the Australian Cup?
Yeah, the Australian Cup. And I sit back here, so who's going to test this horse? Nobody. Nobody's going to test the horse. This is even less pressure. Tim Clark absolutely isn't going to with Linden. I'm sure they're going to be trying to win this race, right? So he's going to be quite happy to be 5 or 6 lengths behind it.
Yep.
And therefore, this is a real opportunity for this horse to get out and roll 10 lengths above benchmark.
Yep.
And that'll be the cruise zone for this horse. Which means, be prepared for a super gutsy last 400, and there's no way that horse is going to tank out. And the other plus is it's going to be 100% in the lanes. So there's not one negative that I could find with this horse at all.
This is unbelievable. Pride of Jenny, about 30 lengths in front in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. She keeps going, coming up the rise. At the moment, Mr. Brightside is being challenged by Kovalika, and then came Buckaroo, Via Sestina. She's winding up, she's getting to second, but Pride of Jenny at the 200. My goodness, 15 in front. Declan Bates goes for the whip, riding a ride out. There's no need. This is a demolition job. Pride of Jenny in the Queen Elizabeth.
And now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfe.
G'day, thanks for checking out year-round carnival. There's a bit of a mash-up there, Vince Accardi, on our Friday preview podcast. Bit of Tommy Two-Tone and, of course, some fantastic race calling there of Darren Flindell, one of the most amazing things we've ever seen. To use a Bruce McAvady line, audio courtesy of Sky Racing. Vince Accardi, good morning to you. Pride of Jenny, what a superstar.
Welsh, a sensational performance, absolutely. Now, whether she's a superstar or not, right, if we want to put it into the right context, that's a different piece of communication. Because my view is this, if we're going to talk superstars,
yes,
she should be compared to Winx, right?
Okay.
Well, that's a good way to do it, right? Because that is a superstar.
Yes.
And I know there's so many things that are talked about and discussed, but the reality is it's a long, long, long way away from Winx, right? I mean, and that's me being humble and keeping it real. And I look at it like this. If you have a look at Winx when she won, I think it was in the 2018 or 19, one of those 2 years, on the raw data, it was plus 12.3 or 12.4. Pride of Jenny was plus 1.4. This is on the raw data. That's always a tremendous insight. Now, flipping it over to the excitement, like I'm excited, was excited as well. When a horse has such an unbelievable lead and it brings it back to Might and Power and Vaux Rogue, it's fantastic to watch. But it also shows up how everybody else is asleep. They're all asleep.
Well, this is the thing.
Oh,
So it's such an exciting thing to watch, but it's also a fascinating thing to break down. And it's an outlier because, all right, Winx was an outlier on talent. Black Caviar was an outlier on talent. And Maccabi, let's put the Mount Rushmore pantheon on those. But as far as watching a race and watching such a freak horse up front And what we are seeing is a free course up front. And Tom, is a book ending your journey? Did you sort of start the late 80s, Vaux Rogue?
Yeah, yes, I recall Vaux Rogue, absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
So, and what we've identified with her a while back was she is an iron horse with amazing early speed.
Absolutely, no question. But he's a little snap. I know a lot of people were saying so many different things. Probably James McDonald summed it up best, embarrassing. And he was coming from the perspective that everybody was happy not to do anything. I couldn't believe, I have to work out how to be humble, right?
Yep.
But when people talk, people like even the Hayes team, about the horse's performance and that, and it turned around and finished in front of Cascadian and all that, yes, that's exactly what did happen. But under the circumstances, the performance that that horse did on the weekend compared to the prior one, a stark contrast of what really took place. And then I wonder what would have happened if all those horses had to go just 10 lengths faster. Would the outcome for the second and third and fourth horse still be exactly the way it was? So that's the first thing that entered, you know, my mind when people were talking about the performance and how the place getters went. And I just said to myself, the only person that, well, Mr. Waller as well, you know, probably intimated a few things as well because he said it was an ugly watch, right? The bottom line is James McDonald got it wrong. Embarrassing. And that's what it was. It was embarrassing. Embarrassing. I mean, I just had a look now, Winx. 2018, first section, 2.8 lengths below benchmark. Lead speed was only plus 1.4. So this is what I'm saying, right? What would have happened if all the other horses were just traveling 2.8 lengths below benchmark while Pride of Jenny was running right up to her performance of the previous start of around plus 15, 16? Then we would have known the true outcome because that day Winx went 2.8 below benchmark, 7.7 above between the 8 and the 4, and 7.4 above last 400. Raw data, 12.3. Adjusted data, 8.8.
So someone still talks to me in the industry, Vince, but he sent me a message saying, has Vince done his clock yet? And so I thought, well, we'll keep our powder dry, but I'll sum it up in one sentence and tell me how close I am. She's pretty much matched her Australian Cup, a bit better, but pretty much matched her Australian Cup, pretty much matched her early speed in the Australian Cup. The difference in the two races were where the second horse was.
This is correct, Ralphie. And then, you know, here's the other crazy thing. Let's just spread the – and I'm not – this is not about knocking Pride of Jenny, right? This is really just about the communication that comes out, right, and bringing things back into perspective. Let's just look at Winx 2019. 6.8 lengths below benchmark. Let's just say everybody was traveling at that speed. This is the second horse's or worse,
so,
right?
So where was – where how fast or slow was the second horse traveling on Saturday?
Oh, are we serious?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I'll get the drum roll out because it was record-breaking. Well, barrier trial speed, 16.9 lengths below benchmark, Mr. Brightside. And no one else did anything.
This is at the 800.
At the 800.
So, Pride of Jenny, 15.9 lengths above benchmark. Yep. Now, we've said she's an iron horse. We'll get to some of our fantastic messages from our members. But that, what did she do in the Australian Cup? On Saturday, 15.9. What did she do in the Australian Cup early?
In the Australian Cup, she did 15.5.
So the only difference was where the rest of the pack was.
Yep.
A fascinating part, and we played that at the start from our intro, was you mentioned about Tim Clark, he's going to take a sit. But Tim Clark was going to be on Lindemann, and Lindemann would have been the one who joined up the field. So he's a late scratching.
Yep.
No one else wanted to do anything.
And that horse would have been, you know, see, this is the thing. If they allowed the horses, this is all the other horses, to run to their rhythm, then everything that was second or further back would have all been running. And this is keeping it absolutely real, right? Even with Lindemann gone and we just look at Brightside as the next potential horse, that horse there, on its worst day, its normalized speed's about 6 lengths below benchmark.
16.9. Right?
Yeah. So you know for a factor at least 10 lengths low. And then this was the other interesting. Corey Brown, now he made the communication that he thought it was all J-Mac's fault. And I'm going, wow. What, because he was on the favourite? That's not correct.
So I actually made a point of watching Sky. I normally don't watch. I just like talking to you first thing. But, again, such a fascinating race. I wanted to watch it. So the argument that Corey Brown and Ron Duffus, he was fantastic chat, was that Craig was there to ride Craig's race, which I agree with in that if we're saying that we don't think he can run 2,000, he's tried to outsmart everyone else and conceded to Pride and Jenny. But should J-Mac have got going earlier on an even money shot?
Should everybody have gotten going earlier? It's forget about J-Mac. I mean, we've got to keep it real. Why is he the target? Because he's on an even money horse. No. That's not correct. What's correct is everybody should have been moving earlier. Everybody should have been moving a lot earlier because it's ridiculous. But they forgot. They forgot that horse was in the race and they obviously all thought this horse was going to collapse. Or they don't know how slow they go, and that's total bullshit. They absolutely know, those boys, that they're crawling. They know barrier trial speed versus real pace. They know that. They absolutely know that.
My favourite bit for those who didn't see Sky Racing was that the numbers on the bottom of the screen actually fell off. The electronic communication didn't know how to do it with Brian and Jenny points.
Yeah, they probably her number.
So, watching the race, when did you think Shed had won? I'm not talking about before you've had a chance to clock it. I thought at the 800, well, she actually has to fall in a hole.
No, I thought she had won at 1600.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, and the reason being is because I'd seen when the gap gets that big, right?
Yes.
Because I've seen it with Vaux Rogue. The reality is, and I understand this, it's over. Who's going to be doing? There's no one doing the chasing.
Yes.
And by the time they got to the 1,000, it was absolutely cue in the rack. And I'm grateful that I had something on it, right? So I'm not talking from a negative point of view. I'm just talking about if we're going to compare superstars, right? And I don't want people to forget about what a superstar really Winx was if you compare it, everything on its true merits. And that goes back down. What would Hugh Bowman have done if he was riding? So this is the thing, right?
Yeah.
This is the thing. This just talks about these other riders, and as far as I was concerned, they were all asleep, all of them. And the blame is on the complete pack, not one individual person. It's the whole pack gets blamed. Because when you break down, it's not like this, Ralph. It's not like the horse was going 16 lengths above benchmark and then 4 lengths above benchmark, still between the 8 and the 400 and benchmark last 400, then I would say, you know what? This horse is actually better than Winx, right? Because the raw figures would have been through the roof.
Well, you always said Winx could have won an Everest if she was targeted for it first up.
Yeah, and it was still the only horse that I really believe could have won the Arc.
Let me throw this question in because I'll get to all of them. But from Cam, purely for entertainment purposes, how would Jenny's first 1,200 stack up with a 1,200 sprint on the clock? Would she have been close in a slowly run TJ last week, for instance? This horse is so special.
It's a different ball game.
Yeah.
And the reason being is this. You can't go 16 lengths above benchmark in a 1,200-metre race. It's just not possible because you need rolling speed.
Because this is metres per second you're talking
about.
That's
right, yeah. You need those metres per second. It's not there. And see, the hidden truth was this, and it was communicated after the race again, by the Sky boys. Well done. They do a great, fantastic job. And again, all the things I'm saying, I'm not knocking anybody, right?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about when people don't have the total understanding of various things. But what was communicated after races, when they went to look at the final clock time, oh, it was just an ordinary time. That's right, exactly. It was just a normal time. I mean, the horse's raw figure, this is Pride of Jenny, was plus 1.4. On a track, I have to say, man, how smart are these boys? If they kept this attitude about keep the water to a minimum, man, we would be so much richer as a product. We would be so much richer as a product.
All right, so actually we haven't touched it, but overall you're just saying Randwick just presented perfectly.
Sensational, absolutely sensational, and gave everybody the opportunity. Now I have to say also about Pride of Jenny, Pride of Jenny's raw score could have been a little bit higher. It could have been because Declan, even though he didn't want to look behind him, as he was saying, right?
Yeah.
did slow the horse by 6 lengths between the 4 and the 2.
I'll tell you one thing, and we played it at the start, he did get it in the lanes. He didn't hug the fence.
Nah, I loved him. You know, that's such a smart boy. But he didn't have to go that wide, you see. That was just because he didn't know.
Yeah. Right?
And if he didn't go that wide, I'd say automatically would have saved maybe 2. That would have brought his raw score up by an extra 2. That would have given him around plus 3.4. And then probably, you know, him slowing the horse down as well. There's probably another 2. So overall, when I look at it and bring it all together, saying, well, the beauty is this. Number one, I hope they take Pride of Jenny to the next Cox Plate. Because it's been a while since we've had a, you know, super Bunsen burner speed.
Well, as the cleaner in Winx's first Cox Plate.
Yep. This would be beautiful, right? I would love to see that because we might get back to the good old days, right?
Yep.
This is subject to Moonee Valley, you know, providing a good surface. And, yeah, and then we would see how good the rest are because no one in the Cox Plate would allow that to happen. Because if you were 20 lengths from the lead, and I can just go to a horse like Rubiton, where Harry White was on, this is now going back in time.
That was Vaux Rogue leading.
Yep, and they were flying. They were going plus 20.
Jesus Christ.
And that horse was genuinely 15 to 18 lengths off the lead, approaching inside the 1,000-metre mark, right?
Yep.
But that horse was going above benchmark, Ralphie, the last horse in the field. The last horse in this field... And this is probably why they're talking about J-Mac, is 20.4. Well, he wasn't actually last, but Buckaroo was actually last, right? 21.9. But VS16 is going 20.4 lengths below.
All right, we're going to bust another myth, though, here. Now, for part of the narrative from all this was because Declan Bates led by a long way, that Stewart's got it totally wrong suspending Regan Bayliss for his ride 51 weeks earlier.
Well, that's a load of bullshit as well.
Right, so I was just setting you up. I'm going to hit a nice lob to you because this was Randwick. This was over 2,000. It was actually on a wet track. So how fast – on Saturday he went 15.9. What did Regan Bayliss go?
Well, two things. You know, that's another thing that this was – the boys rarely ever get things wrong and, you know, like and whatever they were doing. Maybe because there's two jockeys talking on a Sunday morning with the host and they're, you know, getting all excited. But the reality is this, like you said, Ralphie – that day, the horse was going 23.8 lengths below benchmark, but I'll put that aside.
Yeah. Above benchmark.
Above benchmark, sorry. The overall raw score that day was 20.9 lengths below benchmark. Are you kidding me?
21 lengths slower.
Yeah.
So but you on first 1,200, let's back the truck up here. The first 1,200 when Regan Bayliss rode it was 8 lengths faster.
Right. There you go. So
eight
there's
lengths on a wet track.
On a heavy track, Ralph. That was a genuine, well, it has to be a heavy 10, right? Yep. That's best case scenario. Worst case scenario could have been gotten around minus 12. It would have been a H12, right? Doesn't exist on the books. They need to bring that out. The racing industry needs to start having up to heavy 15, especially when they've got watering tactics, right?
Yes.
These things need to be there, right? And the reality is, let's just see, this is what frustrates me. At least do some homework, boys. Don't, you know, just talk shit when you're not bringing facts up. And I mean that. Like, be real. You got to be real. And that's the reality. So the stewards did get it right that day. He didn't probably get enough of a penalty. This is the rider. Probably didn't get enough of a penalty. Should have got a bigger penalty because that was completely crazy. And now let's look at the reverse. Maybe all the boys that ran on the weekend that finished second or should all get a penalty as well for going too slow, like the policemen do. Hey, you're in a 100K zone, you're doing 40, get off the road, we're going to fine you. Because that's what was the situation was, right?
Absolutely. Righto, we'll punch through a few of these because we ask our members if they, on a Sunday if they'd like to participate because we ain't here without our members. So we just thank you for being part of it. For Mel, just the obvious, what the hell was going on the Queen Elizabeth? Was it the performance of the year? Well, Vince has addressed that. From Adam, Jenny must have the Cox Plate circled. How do they beat her? Well, how they beat her, Vince, is smarter tactics because a plus 5.1 is really good enough to win a Cox Plate.
Now, and the beauty is this, and this is – there was a couple of little nice little nuggets that came out of it. Number one, Pride of Jenny did go to another level. We've got to give her the credit. She's now, at 2,000 metres, gone from a 4.5 to a 5.1, which is sensational, right? Absolutely sensational from that perspective. And as you and I have seen over the years, which goes back a long time now, more than a decade, that we know mares can keep improving. So there's nothing to say this horse still won't improve further. I mean, it was just such an unbelievable effort that what it did on the weekend. So from that perspective, you know, absolutely, I feel it's awesome. Now, bringing it back to Cox Plate, I would say we'd have to have the worst year ever.
Well, in fact, we mentioned that last year, Mr. Brightside, 5.1. So really, and that was a low year for a Cox Plate.
About as low as it gets, Ralph.
Yeah. So Ligue Rocher, for instance, I'm sure off the top of my head, was 7.2. So that gives you an idea of what, you know, Winx is 10 plus 10s and all that. So, you know, all you have to do is beat the opposition, and she's doing that at the moment, and she's a fantastic horse, and we love her, but that means that, you know, if there's some big boys coming from overseas and better tactics. And in fact, let's put this in a bow before I get to more messages. Vince, did you learn anything from Via Sestina under that big monster mid-race squeeze she was forced to do?
Yeah, I learned plenty, and what was learned was this, that the horse never got warmed up.
So what are you, 28.3 length mid-race squeeze, last two sections are combined, what, 14 lengths above benchmark?
Yeah.
And peaked on its run. No, it didn't peak on its run. No, it just maintained it all the way through the line. So it was just, it had an 800-meter race.
Yeah, and so here's the thing.
Yep.
Again, this is to keep everything, I want to keep it humble. Because this is the other, I found that unbelievable. You know, like I didn't want to get the vomit bucket out, but again, when people talk, you know, they need to just think just a little bit, because it's a little bit incorrectly the way they were speaking, right? Now, Via Sestina on a minus 20.4 with a plus 7.9 between the 8 and the 4 and a plus 6 last 400, I just want to remind everybody, Winx going 18 lengths faster, right? Then between the 8 and the 4 was 7.7 above. And the last 400 was 7.4. So this is now being a little bit more correctly. And then if we want to just tie the bow, I call it tie the bow, the daily track average that day Winx won was 2.0, two lengths faster than this year, 1.79. So what are we going to give as an adjustment for less than a quarter of a length difference in track speed-wise? Comparing the 2 days, because that's the last thing that you have to do, right? You bring this little adjustment together, right? Yep. And you say, okay, now we're all even. And the reality is, okay, you know, I'm going to be really bad and I'm going to take 2 lengths off Winx. That would still bring us to a plus 10 rule. Yeah, well, now we're looking at, so now where does that put Via Sestina? Well, I know for certain, if Via Sestina was going 10 lengths faster, it would not produce that number. Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet second up. With a proper campaign, that could be a very different discussion, because that horse has been in races with pace, hasn't quite produced the finishes like Winx. So, again, I just want to bring it all back to normal. And, yes, Via Sestina is a high-caliber horse, but even Via Sestina, like going to a Cox Plate, wouldn't be easy for it if we get a couple of other runners.
Yeah. This one, you'll like this from Scott. I haven't seen the IVR data yet, bro. Raw is quick, but no, 202, Pride of Jetty, Equinox, 155 over 2,000, except different track, etc. My question is, when J-Mac answered the question about Via Sestina and he answered embarrassing, was he referring to himself and the seven blokes who pulled their pants, had their pants pulled down by Declan Bates? Because I think it's hard to blame the horse when he was never given an opportunity. As you know, I love Jetty, but seriously, is that the biggest collective group of brain fart we've ever seen on a racetrack? When will these blokes learn? And then later he got your IVR report and he said it was a brain fart. And that's pretty much what you've said.
Yeah, and this is unfortunately the truth of what's happened. And I wonder, I didn't look to see why Lindemann got scratched.
Well, it was a late scratching, so I can only assume it. Had, yeah. I'll look it up while we're talking.
Might have had something wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah. Anyhow,
I want to know if you what was the furthest you had her from in front in the lead? Do you measure that, or I just at the 800?
It might have been more than 50 lengths. Yeah, because I started clocking the horse from the 16, but yeah.
You'll love this from Britain. Hey, mate, not a question but a comment. Since Vince called her out as a 9 horse last year, I've done a Vince and had a 2x10 each time she's raced since. Wouldn't have done it without the pod. Thanks, guys.
Well, this is something else we should just touch on. Really, how many pods have we done recently? We've done the last 7 or 8?
Yeah, yeah. True.
And you've had this other little, I don't know how you do this. I'm not sure how you weave this. I have to be a little bit more on guard myself. Maybe I'm asleep on a Saturday, right? But you somehow have been able to extract out of me over the last 7 or 8 weeks how I'm grading, what I'm doing. And then I sit back and say, well, if everybody at least followed that, they've made money. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm very mindful of people listening. And the last thing I want them to do is lose their money.
Yep. Absolutely. I think I saw that she's only started favourite once in all her races. So it's just phenomenal. And maybe that's worth touching on too, Vince, as a talking point, just for learning about this whirlpool. Ended up getting a massive result on collectively for those who were with it, with Gold Trip in the Turnbull when the robots just tumbled into Romantic Warrior that day. Was it a little bit of the same on Saturday? Like $7 prior to Jenny, did the robots just completely ignore the Melbourne performance and say, well, we don't respect you at all and we're just going to pile into Via Sustina? Because on no planet in the world should she have been $7 if she was right. And I just assume she must have prayed poorly or whatever, but I think this is a whirlpool in action that can sometimes create massive value.
Yeah, well, she actually paraded slightly better, and Pride of Jenny did as well, right?
Okay.
They both paraded very, very strongly. The difference is this. When you're bringing in the whirlpool, there's more robots of syndicates.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, they got 143, 180 metrics, and, you know, the waiting for sectional times might be 6, 7%, right? The rest is created by a whole lot of other things, and they're very successful at it. But, you know, that would have just been, like, such a beacon. Like, it would have been, like, that's the only horse in the race. Just back it until there's nothing else left. And this is what they did. They did exactly that. And obviously Pride of Jenny would have been ignored. And in reality, when you sum up all things, that's probably correct, right? It's probably correct because, you know, Pride of Jenny had yet to put down anything serious on the clock, right, at 2,000 metres. So I understand that, but for us micro pros, where we, you know, we get focused on, you know, very, you know, specific races, and we're not using that approach, while we see those opportunities potentially big value, potentially, of course, you still will have to come to the realisation that's the horse you want to back.
From Alan, good morning. Pride of Jenny's ride, good or holding on for dear life? Laugh out loud. That's pretty fair. From, let's switch over now to another race here because this is from Brody. No question, just a thanks for yours and Vince's insight into my question about Autumn Angel's run in the autumn in the Adrian Knox last week. Much appreciated, boys. And, of course, what you said last week on the Monday pod when I put that question to you was this was the perfect lead-up run for to if you're going to climb a quick back-up, you want a slow tempo. Oaks is a normally slow tempo, so it'll give her a chance to run to her best. And by the time it got to our Friday pod, the one thing you didn't want to be with was Orchestral. You wanted to go big A-grade bet with a place on side for a good result was Zardozi. We gave good respect to Autumn Angel, and in the end, this was your classic Vince of two big stables, in this case Moody Coleman and James Cummings, setting a horse and a New Zealand horse who'd been up for a long time. And again, we're looking at a bit of a robot explosion because I don't know how you could have had Orchestral at such tight odds on price. And we're not talking Monday here. We're talking exactly what you said Friday and Saturday.
Well, this is the, again, coming back down to when a lot of the robots... See, for me, I use sectionals. I call it 100% of all my work with the exception of the rider, right?
Yep.
So that's really the only other critical thing that I look at is the rider. And, of course, you know, I'm making it simple. Would I look at race shape and all that? But they're all unpredictable things, right? So you've been subjective. It's not totally possible to understand that they're going to run absolutely this speed or that speed, or this is where the slowdown's going to happen or not happen. Could a horse miss the start? You know, like I don't take myself that seriously, because when I used to do that, I used to just cry every day, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm more more humble and honest with myself to say, okay, you can't control any of those things. Just do your best, have a mid-range and use that. But I'm a 100% sectionals man, right? And I'm a purist of the sport. And I am, in my view, for myself, I don't know anybody else that can do what I've been doing, right? I don't know no one. This is on the planet, and I speak with people internationally everywhere. There's nobody. Well, if they're there, they're not talking to me, right? So, and the ones that are talking to me, they share everything, and I can realize, okay, well, you still got your yellow belt. That's okay. Or your white belt. It's all good, right? Because it takes decades of practice, right, to get to arrive. So here's, you know, the overall scenario, and that's probably why a horse like Equestrian, probably people would have thought I was crazy, and I might have been wrong. But I said that horse's last start performance was the best that it ever had. Better than New Zealand. I've been clocking New Zealand for more than a decade, Ralphie. I have a really good understanding of what goes on there. So it's not like I didn't know. It's not like I only had even the overseas, I have more data than what I used to have, but still it's fractional in comparison to like what I have for, say, New Zealand. I've got a lot more, right? It can be called another state for me, right? I have the knowledge and the experience. So when I see that, I sort of laugh a little bit and say, well, the boys maybe got this a little bit wrong. There's an advantage. And the advantage was, you know, obviously a lot of people did chime into Autumn Angel. So Sardosi, now on an international front, global pools, again, what do you reckon all the robots are going to do? Oh, 2400 proven, beat the boys, you know, all these things.
Off group tickets, one.
See, this is the other thing. This is I love this, Ralphie.
Great opportunity.
What I love is this. You see, they look at the scale and say, that's the scale, group one, two, three. And I know so many times the group one races should be at best listed this year. You know, I mean, if you want to, you know, get pedantic, right, and really start to break. But you're going to have that, and you're going to have the algorithms, because I've gone through this process, Ralphie. You're going to have the algorithms, and group one's always going to be higher than a group two or a group three. And the boys are always going to have a higher overall performance than the girls. Like, and this is if you're talking Oaks versus Derby, right? If it's just for the males. And of course, there are females that compete in those, but they don't win that often. So when they see a horse like Orchestral win, they'd say, oh my goodness, this is going to be the next superstar. No, mate, it's not going to be the next superstar. You're dreaming, aren't you? Right? Now, that's not to say that Orchestral is not going to improve, right?
Yeah.
In the next campaign, because we've learnt that females, then they become mares, they can keep improving till six. So I won't sit here and say that Orchestral can't become a plus three or fours and be a Caulfield Cup or whatever horse. No, because it could be, right? And the same goes for Autumn Angel and Zardosi. Again, you know, I'm confident of this. Markle's run was better, but this time he decided to follow Zara.
Yeah.
Right? But at least when he took off, he made his own decision and didn't wait for the move. I did like that. But, again, I don't want to be rude, but I just wonder what would have happened if Bowen was on it. What would have happened?
What would you say? So Autumn Angel has produced a PB. We'll get back to her in a sec. But just what could have happened differently with Zardosi, do you think?
Well, first of all, you're giving a length and a half head start, which, okay, we got this situation. But at that pace, you see, the lead speed minus 10, mind you, they would have been 10 lengths in front of all the horse that were second or further back in the 2,000-metre race, right?
Yeah.
But let's look at it again. Zardosi, 22.7. Autumn Angel, 21.3. Zara's already riding better.
Right.
Because he knows they're crawling. So he could have gone a little bit faster if he wanted to, but he's fine, right? So that means Zardosi, 22.7. You're too far behind, champ. You could have been more forward. Now, discussions could be had, but you might get caught, all those things. I get it, right? But then you look at the mid-race, and this is the second step. 30.7 length squeed versus 28.9. Let's call it a length, and nearly two lengths, right? How much are you going to allow for that? And then I look at the last 400. Autumn Angel, 6.2. Zardosi, 6.3. This is the reason why I bracket him into three sections. And then we go down to the micro splits. And sure, on the micro splits, you can see that the overall performance of Autumn Angel's last 200 was 4.8 versus 3.8. So it did have the wood on it over the last 200 metres if we want to look at it from that angle. But then I look at it and say, okay, we do have to factor in the real handicapping. The starting point, especially if the races run slow, Ralph. If you're running benchmark, it's a bit hard, right?
Yep.
When you're running slow, don't tell me if you used another 3 or 4 lengths of energy, your horses be more. Imagine if the tactics for them was to be a little bit more forward. What would have happened? See, this is guys like, you know, Hugh Bowman as an example. They do those sort of things, Ralphie.
Blake Shin's a classic at it.
Blake, absolutely. He ain't just going to sit there and say, mate, we're crawling. And in the first couple hundred minutes, they'll work it out straight away. I need to be more positive because we're absolutely going slow. And it has no impact on your fuel energy at all. So that's probably
pushing forward on the chessboard. On the chessboard.
Yeah. And then when we look at Orchestral, of course, they're going to come out with the excuses after the event. They have to, right?
Yep.
Although I respect the trainer. He didn't say that. Others were saying probably come to the end of the run, but the trainer didn't say that, right, when he had the mic on him. But Orchestral probably was in the best, I would say almost the best spot. I would say the best spot is where Quintessa was, right, going 15.5. Yep. But Orchestral 19.2 has already got 2 to 3 lengths advantage on the other two boys.
And wasn't good enough.
No, it wasn't good enough. 6.9 the mid, didn't have to use the same energy, didn't have the same finish. Thank you, because this confirmed what we discussed last week about Zardosi following J-Mac, and he got caught. And here, I felt that he was following Zara, even though he made his own move. And then I look at the NPS margin, and the margin says, okay, well, the gap should be 6.6 maximum, subject to the adjustment of the mid-race squeeze.
Well, listen, an hour of radio a week, Vince, Racing Radio, 7 to 8. Saturday morning, RSN, and Peter Moody made best of the day. Autumn Angel had some good runners everywhere, and I reckon he can train.
He's what do you reckon? I'm so glad he came back, and I know, you know, obviously he's a you know, I don't think he has the same number of horses, but we know when he's right, he really gets it wrong. He's so good. He understands ensuring that he has the right riders, and if it's not Luke Nolan, look what he got as a substitute. You know, mind you, there was a reason why Luke didn't ride him. He didn't think he was ready or something. Is that right?
Well, he was struggling from his injury and weight. Yeah. Why he didn't ride, I wish I win. But what they've done in Sydney, and they've had a good campaign in Sydney, as you said, you know, there's Mark Zara and Easy wins with Damien Lane. So they've really gone to the good boys and got the results.
Yeah, and I also feel that, see, guys like Mark Zara, they're actually disadvantaged when they're up against J-Mac in Sydney.
Yeah. Well,
because they don't ride at the track as often, right? I could imagine if Zara was there every week. Let me tell you, he would be every bit as good as J-Mac, right? And so would Damien Lane. But they don't ride there very often. So whilst they know, it's not like at the back of their hand, like they just go purely on feel for everything like J-Mac would. That's why J-Mac's so brilliant, and that's why I say Pikey's so brilliant in Western Australia. This is why. Then Pikey came to Sydney for a stint. It took quite a while for him to get there, right, and start working out, because it takes lots of racing, you know, of riding horses to know your tracks.
I didn't mention Darren's question, but he said, oh, my God, that was the most enjoyable race I've ever watched. How would you reduce the chaos factor in Pride of Jenny's race as well? Maybe it's not the chaos factor was everyone chasing, but we've discussed that in depth. A couple here from about the Sydney Cup, Vince. From Chris, Circle of Fire, 3 wide the trip, nearly pulls away from the field. How good could this one be? And also Adam asked a similar situation. How did Circle of Fire rate? Did they go slow for him to sit 3 wide the trip and still win over 2 miles?
Well, again, I love the way, I'm just going to use J-Mac's words all day, embarrassing. This was the absolutely different. I mean, Circle of Fire's going 4.3 lengths below benchmark and we're in a 3,200-metre race. I mean, that just shows you. This was at least real. 3.1 lengths below benchmark's lead speed. So you can see this is real racing. The mid-race move probably didn't have it as much gusto in it, and that's probably dragged the score down. Overall, it was 0.6 above, 10th best performance of the day, which I do love. And on the raw data, it was 1.1 lengths below benchmark. Probably when you look at it like that, if you're looking, you know, some people like to compare raws with raws. Well, the gap between the two is only two and a half lengths between, let's say, what a Pride of Jenny did versus Circle of File, if we're looking at it purely from that angle. But we have to bring the other variables in. 0.6, that's a good performance, Rolfie. And no doubt this horse has still got more to give and more improvement to come, for sure. I have no doubt about it. I mean, to what extent?
Well, I've not seen Melbourne Cups one with sort of plus two range, so that probably tells you that second prep with Kieran Maher, we don't want to put a silly on it yet.
Oh, no, not with Kieran Maher. He's currently demonstrating he's the best trainer in the country.
And let's finish the group ones with the Queen of the Turf. So you would have been happy, sad. You were very, very bullish about a tissue, so you would have won on the race because you could get a better result in the place. But, of course, there was a nose in it and went Zugotchu's way.
Well, you wouldn't read about it. I actually was on Zugotchu.
Your foot.
Well, as I said in the morning, I just felt that Zugotchu was trending better.
Yep.
And I just wasn't 100% sure what was going to happen with the rider. So I made a decision because there wasn't a lot between them when I looked at it from that angle. And I just went Zugotchu. So I was almost crying because Atishu was going to win, right?
When Blake loomed up.
Now, when I say crying,
outcome
in the end, either way, the majority of my money is all on for a place, so I win regardless, right? But I got the bonus, which I don't often get, Ralphie, but I like it when I do. I like it when I get paid a bonus, right? I really, really do like that. And it's not often, but I'm happy when it does happen.
So best last 400 and 200 a day a tissue, a little bit of a check, probably cost of the race. So you got you, though, was just a beauty, plus 2.2. So, again, we're with a soft lead speed, which obviously is going to make it harder to run decent time. Did we learn anything from these mares, or did they just pretty much produce where you thought they would be if it was a slow tempo?
Well, what we did learn is this, that those first and second horses are just so much better than the rest.
Yeah, yeah.
They really are. Maybe Samana's an interesting one, right, lightly raced, possibly, but they were just so much better than the rest.
Yeah. That's their level. All right, that's it for the group ones. There's a couple of horses that we really, I think there's some gold in there. So we'll leave that for our group one members. So if you're a group one member, you're going to get a bonus podcast. We'll do 10 minutes on some of the other highlights from Randwick this week. To finish off the carnival, we've got another preview podcast, All Age Stakes Day. So again, our usual format, deep dive on the Friday of all the features, early edition race speed profiles, and then Saturday morning we'll talk business once we've got final confirmation with track conditions and scratchings, of course. But in the meantime, all of Vince Carty's work, of course, via dailysectionals.com.au, all of my work, racetrackralphie.com.au, including the opportunity to be a member if you want to get the Group 1 bonus podcast each week, and other opportunities, including Best of the Day sent to you each week, is via racetrackralphie.com.au. In the meantime, thanks so much for listening to Year Round Carnival.